Editorial of the Socialist, issue 1015. People's vote should be a general election. On the 20th of October, hundreds of thousands marched through the streets of London demanding a people's vote on Brexit. The motivations of those who marched were varied. Some were marching to show their internationalism and opposition to the Little England Tory hard Brexiteers, others because of worries about job losses and economic dislocation. The central mobilizing factor, which made this far larger than previous similar demonstrations, was the growing fear that the government's negotiations are going to end in a chaotic no-deal Brexit. A YouGov poll last week found only 1% of people think the Brexit negotiations are going well, and 71% believe they are going badly. No wonder. Despite May's claim that a Brexit deal is 95% complete, nothing was achieved in last week's negotiations. Crash out. It is not in the interests of the European capitalist classes for Britain, the second largest economy in the EU, to crash out in a disorderly fashion, and it is still likely that May will agree a deal she can at least put to Parliament. This would probably be some kind of blindfold Brexit with most of the details still to be negotiated. Nonetheless, the competing interests of the capitalist class of Britain and the 27 EU powers, and the fear of agreeing a deal that could trigger a domino effect across the continent, means that even this is not guaranteed. And if May does get a deal she can put to Parliament, it is very uncertain whether it will pass, or whether she will survive as Prime Minister. The only achievement of the last round of negotiations was to further infuriate both wings of the Tory party, by floating the idea of extending the transition period beyond December 2020. The weakness of May's situation was summed up when the Brexit minister, Dominic Raab, agreed that she is clinging to power by a thread, but not to worry, because it's a pretty strong one. For the British capitalist class, this is an escalating crisis, in which they have no reliable political representation to fight for their interests. A big majority of them would have preferred to remain in the EU, and are now campaigning to stay as close to it as possible. They are desperate to avoid a Corbyn-led government, and have hoped May would be able to achieve a form of Brexit they could live with where Britain continued effectively as part of the single market, including accepting all of its neoliberal, pro-privatisation, anti-working class rules. However, their hopes of achieving this are being badly undermined by the Tory Brexiteers, with their utopian dreams of a return to Britain's past as a major world power, which they want to try and achieve via a further race to the bottom in wages and working conditions. The frenzy against May by the Tory Brexiteer MPs is increasing, with declarations that she is entering the killing zone, and should bring her own news to the meeting of the Tory backbench 1922 committee on the 24th of October. Rumours of the Brexiteer MPs triggering a no-confidence vote in the Prime Minister have been swelling for months, but are now gaining in volume. It is also possible that another tranche of Tory cabinet members could resign, further weakening May. No wonder millions of people are turning away in disgust from the sight of the government tearing itself apart over its varying versions of Brexit, none of which will be in the interests of the working class. Nor is it any surprise that a significant section of the population are prepared to march to demand that the Brexit negotiations are taken out of the hands of the Tories, and that the people should get to vote again. There was no clarity from the organisers, however, about what a people's vote should consist of. Some wanted a yes or no referendum on any deal May negotiates, but others wanted an option to choose to remain in the EU. Second referendum. Socialists are not opposed to referenda in principle, including a second vote on an issue in some circumstances. Ultimately, our attitude depends on whether holding one would help to increase the confidence and cohesion of the working class majority. However, at this stage, any vote which included the option to reverse the result of the 2016 referendum would be seen as trying to reverse a democratic decision and a betrayal by many of the millions of working class people who voted for Brexit in a revolt against the establishment. The people's vote we are fighting for is not a second referendum, but a general election. No Brexit negotiated by the Tories will be in the interests of the majority. Corbyn should fight a general election on a manifesto for a socialist Brexit. This would mean negotiating in the interests of the working class. His red lines would be opposition to all neoliberal pro-capitalist rules. On this basis, he could make a call for international solidarity with workers across Europe. Corbyn would, of course, need to seek a trade deal with the EU, but he would be in a far stronger position than May to achieve this on the basis of having won a clear election victory on bold, socialist policies, which would electrify workers across Europe. In addition, a Corbyn-led government would be able to use a program of nationalization to take the ability to inflict job losses, closures, or reductions in pay and conditions out of the hands of any corporations that move to take that path. While many participants in last Saturday's People's Vote March were open to this approach, for the capitalist politicians who headed it, a Corbyn-led government with socialist policies is a nightmare scenario. Representatives of the pro-EU wing of the Tory party marched alongside pro-capitalist, pro-EU Blairite politicians and the leaders of the Liberal Democrats. This was summed up by the pictures of Tory Anna Subri and Blairite Chuka Yumunna with their arms round each other. All of them see their own as defending the interests of British capitalism. This includes fighting to remain part of, or at least aligned to, the EU single market with its neoliberal rules, but above all by doing all in their power to prevent a Corbyn-led government coming to power, and, if it does, to prevent it introducing radical policies in the interests of the working class. Despite mobilizing a big crowd by calling for a people's vote, it is still entirely possible that some of these representatives of the elite, including those currently in the Labour Party, could end up voting for a deal proposed by May, if they judge she has made sufficient moves towards a soft Brexit, and if they think that is necessary to prevent a real people's vote, a general election. New Centre Party. In outline, the leaders of the 20th of October March are the forces that could, in the future, make a new so-called centre party, that is, a party that more accurately represents the interests of the capitalist class in Britain. The turnout will have given them a certain confidence. However, they still face real difficulties. The mobilisation on the 20th of October was based on the fear of a Tory Brexit, but that does not mean support for the pro-privatisation, pro-war, neoliberal policies which are all these capitalist politicians have to offer. The fundamental reason for the crisis of the major political parties in Britain is the crisis of capitalism, which offers the working and middle class a diet of endless low pay, insecure housing and overwork. For Jeremy Corbyn and the Labour left, it is well overdue that attempts to seek unity with the pro-capitalist wing of the Labour Party cease. Democratising the Labour Party, including urgently introducing mandatory resurrection, is vital to ensure that, if a snap election is called, Corbyn is not fighting the election surrounded by Blairite MPs who are openly plotting to prevent him being elected, or, if he is, being able to act in the interests of the working class majority, including fighting for a socialist Brexit.